I get to praying. You know, you know, you'll think this is crazy. And I think it's crazy too, but I can't help it. I was home the other day, and I was walking around the room, and I got to be a good spirit. And I said, "Woo! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah!" And my little boy opened the door, and he plays the piano at Belmont Baptist Church, and he's a Sunday school superintendent. He was elected Sunday school superintendent when he was 14 years old. And he opened the door, and he said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Leave me alone." He said, "Well, what's wrong?" I said, "Leave me alone. I'm happy. Leave me alone!" And I heard him. He went upstairs, and he said, Mom, you better hurry. I said, "Daddy, something wrong." He said, "Leave me alone. Ain't a thing wrong. I don't know what. He's just walking around." My wife stuck her head in the door, and she's real quiet. And she said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Leave me alone. Leave me alone!" Praise God. Me and Jesus had the best time you ever saw. Oh, I was walking in the Spirit. My Bible said on the Lord's day, John was in the Spirit. When you get in the Spirit, you don't want to find a body. You want to just stay alone. And oh, what a blessing it is, beloved, to get in the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, it's a blessing to enjoy God's fellowship and just want to stay and not leave the presence of God. Now, here's the last thing, number five. God's touch is worth feeling. Did you ever feel His touch on you? Hallelujah. Ooh, I like to hear somebody get to singing and God touches them. And boy, it's good then. When the Lord reaches down and touches the singer. Listen, it's good singing. When God touches the preacher. Boy, He's preaching. It's good preaching, brother. Without the touch of God, I couldn't do a thing. Without the touch of God, you couldn't do a thing. Without the touch of God, none of us could do a thing. Now, I'd rather have that touch on me. Praise God, I'd rather reach up and touch Him and have Him to reach down and touch me. My Bible said Jesus walked over and touched them and said, "Be not afraid." Is worth feeling this morning. How long's it been since the touch of Jesus has been on your life? How long's it been since you felt the touch of God on your soul? How long's it been since you had that touch? It's a blessed thing to feel the touch of Jesus. What a blessing. A little boy was hit in Chicago and they couldn't do anything. He's hit with an automobile and they took him to the hospital. And his mother run off with another man. She went down to Hammond, Indiana, which is a suburb of Chicago. And they put on the radios. A little boy had been hit in the street. And they couldn't get him out from unconsciousness. And they tried everything. They tried all kinds of medicines and serums. And it wouldn't do any good. And they got his daddy there. And the little boy just couldn't know a thing. And finally, they put out an alarm. And the mother heard the alarm. And she came to Chicago and went to the hospital. She rushed into the room. The nurse said, "He'll never know you." She reached down and took him by the hand, began to stroke the little hand of the boy. The boy smiled and said, "That's Mama's touch." Whoa, that's Mama's touch! Let me tell you something. I'm glad, hallelujah, when Jesus touches you, you know that touch, didn't hallelujah. It's better than Mother's touch. When the Lord reaches down and touches you, thank God it's better than Mother's touch. I'm glad the Bible said Jesus walked over and the Lord Jesus touched them and said, "Fear not." Every head bowed, every eye closed. I've given you five things this morning. Now I'll tell you, beloved, these five things we need. We need to know that God's mountains are worth climbing. God's visions are worth seeing. Oh, beloved, listen, God's voice is worth hearing. Have you heard God speak to you this morning? Oh, yes. God's presence is worth enjoying. God's touch is worth feeling. How about it this morning? I believe God's speaking right now to you. Would you hear Him? Don't you turn a deaf ear to the voice of God, beloved. Oh, let God touch you this morning. You mind the Holy Spirit. Would you let God touch you? Would you let the Lord touch you this morning? Would you let God speak to you? It's worth it. Would you do what God wants you to do? I want to ask you a couple of questions. How many of you here?
glad to be here. How many of you'd rather be here than be in the hospital? Say amen, would you? Now I get through with you, you might ought to be in the hospital in the emergency ward. But I'm glad you're here. God bless you for the service today. And I believe that you're going to get a blessing by coming. Now, I've said this week, God has deeply been working among his people, and I praise God for that. My, isn't it good that we can have the deep moving of God in these days. And we've seen the Lord move among his people, which we praise the Lord for. And I'm glad that old-fashioned Baptists can still be blessed. Amen. I am. Amen. Of course, God can bless any of them if they want to be blessed. But I'm glad that the Baptists can still be blessed.
Amen.
And I'm planning on being blessed to live. Amen. I'm glad, Brother Davis, God bless him, Nazarenes over there, if you want to bless. Amen. We're glad he's with us. God bless him. I've known him for many years. We're glad he's with us. And glad all of you here today. God bless you for coming to the meeting. And we've had a wonderful time, and the Lord's blessed. We praise his name. We're glad you're here now. Don't put on the brakes. Just enjoy the blessings of the Lord. As long as it's decent and in order, why, everything's all right. Amen. For if it's not in order, I call them down, you see. I do that. I believe preachers ought to do that. Sometimes they have to call little boys down when they get to our girls or boys on the back seat. Sometimes you have teenagers. They're not doing right. I just stop and call them down. Say that, and we won't have that. I believe preachers ought to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Sir, I believe. So we're glad you're here today, and we trust you'll get a blessing. Now, some preachers are here, and if you're not a subscriber to the Gold Mine, if you don't get it, I have three copies today. I'd be glad for you to have one if you're a preacher. Now, this only goes into the homes of preachers, and if you'd like one, a sample copy, you see me after the service, I'll be glad to give you one. You can look it over, and I believe it'll be a real blessing to your heart. Over 4,500 preachers receive it every month now, and we praise God for the many preachers that are getting the Gold Mine all over the country. Men are writing me about many souls being saved. For instance, in Miami alone, we have 26 subscribers in the wicked city of Miami. We have subscribers in all 50 states and many foreign countries around the world. And I praise the Lord for it. And if you're here and you're a preacher and you do not receive the Gold Mine, if you'll see me after the service, I'll be glad to give you a copy. And if you're here and you're a boy and you haven't had a haircut in a long time, you need this book on When Boys Start Looking Like Girls. I'll tell you what's the truth. You know what some of these boys look like? It's long hair. You can't tell a he from a she. They look like they ran through a haystack and didn't comb my hair when they got out the other side. Amen. So, we have these, but we're glad you're with us now, and it's been a blessing. I tell you, I was telling about Brother Cliff praying the other night. I'll have to tell you this. We had having a good time back there praying, and he'd get nearly wound down. I'd jump up and hit him on the back and holler, hallelujah, and he'd start out praying again. And then he'd get nearly wound down, and I'd jump up and hit him on the back and holler, hallelujah, he'd start out praying again. I did that about a half a dozen times. I said, Lord, I'm going to kill him if I don't stop doing that. And but we've had a good time. God's blessed us, and we appreciate his blessings. And we're glad for you to be here to this afternoon. We're glad to see the soldier man with us today, and we're going to ask him to come down. How many of you have sons in the service? Hold up your hand. You have a son in the service? All right. We'll have you to come down in a few moments, and I'll appreciate that. Let's take this, Brother Hawkins, you let's have this front row, if you will. How about you, soldier boy? Come down first. We'll have you sit on the front row. I always do this in this service. That's good. You've never felt so important having a private seat right on the front row. We wouldn't even give the general out there that, hallelujah. We're glad. Sergeant's got, all right. Now, you mothers and dads, if you have sons in the service, you come sit down by this service, man. Would you do that? Come right on down. We'll be happy for you to come. Said, if you have a son in the service, I tell you, we need to pray for these mothers and dads who have sons in service. Yes, come right on down. All right, Brother Smith, y'all get up and come up if you will on the front. Amen. Now, at the close of this service, we're going to have these to come and kneel, and we're going to pray for the men in the armed forces. Certainly, they need prayer, I'll tell you that. They need prayer over there in Vietnam. If you could see what they're going through with, certainly they need prayer in these days. And so, now if you have a brother in the service, why, we want you to come down and sit on the second row. We'll make room for it. If you have a brother in the service of the country, come right on down. All right, brother, too. Amen. If your brother's in service, Why, we want you to come down. Amen. Here's a little fellow got a big old brother in service. That's fine. And amen. That's wonderful. All right. Now I tell you, we're going to have you sing in a moment, and then I'm going to preach. But always on Sunday afternoon, I take an offering. Amen. I know Baptists just lick their chops, and I meet you an offering. That's right. Amen. You know what they used to tell me in Greenwood, and I was pastor of our Central Baptist Church? They'd say, don't you go down there to that church. It'll cost you $1.50 to get in. One of my deacons down there met a fellow on the street. And he said, I'd like to come to your church and hear Mays preach, but they tell me he charges $1.50 to get in. That deacon said, no, I don't charge to get in, but you'll be lucky if you get out less than $1.50. Yes, sir. But we can have a good time, enjoy God's blessings. And I always do this on Sunday afternoon. Now, the Lord willing. And by the way, next week I'll be in Hendersonville, North Carolina at Ebenezer Baptist Church. And I believe Brother Cliff and some of them are coming up Friday night to be with us in the meeting in Hendersonville. And then, of course, the next week I'll be in Danville with W.C. Bradley, South Hall Baptist Church. And the next week, then in Chattanooga. And the next week I'll be back in Martinsville, Virginia. And on and on. So you pray for us as we go that God will bless and that souls will be saved. That's the main thing, brother, to get people to Jesus. Did you know that? Oh, we need to get people to God. And you pray for us that God will bless. Now, we have a daily radio broadcast heard all over the country. Every day, all over the country. You cannot hear us here, but I'll tell you what, we're starting the 1st of November. In fact, we're already started on some of these stations, but we're starting a night broadcast that'll reach every state in the Union. We'll be on some of the most powerful radio stations in America. We'll be on WWVA in Wheeling. We'll be on XET, Monterey, Mexico. We'll be on XERB out in California, just across the line. They'll reach all the way up into Canada, all the way up through California and Oregon and Washington that way. And then we'll be on Waterloo, Iowa at night. The great 50,000-watt voice will shoot it across the Northwest. We'll be on enough stations at night so everybody in America, if they wanted to tune in these states, could hear it. And I appreciate that. Now, the time is very, very expensive. You don't get on these powerful stations without money. It takes money. You know it takes money. For instance, I was on WCKY in Cincinnati, Ohio, and the time is $8 flat a minute. If you're on 30 minutes, why, you might multiply it by $240 for 30 minutes. Wheeling is about the same. These stations are tremendous in cost, but they reach a lot of people. And how many of you have heard some preacher over the radio sometime or other and you've been blessed? Hold up your hand. I don't care who you was. Well, good. All right, take your hands down. How many of you heard a preacher on the radio and you got under conviction by listening to one over the radio? Hold up your hand. Let's see. All right. Amen. Yes, sir. I appreciate that. All right. How many of you heard our, well, I was on with Brother Cliff this morning. How many of you heard it this morning? Let's see your hand. All right. Well, good. God fog you up there in the radio station. I thought it was going to take a C&I dog to get us out of there. Amen. I saw Brother Sam pass me. I thought he wanted me to stop. I stopped to see what was going on. He was picking up children and taking them to Sunday school. I was having a time. And it's good that the Lord can bless us. Now, here's what we're going to do. I want to take an offering up. I'll do the same thing next week and the same thing the next week in Danville. Same thing the next week at Lupton Drive in Chattanooga. And on and on and on for this nighttime broadcast. Now, let's get the gospel to people. This doesn't mean one penny in my pocket. I do have to raise about $3,000 to get started. Now, I don't have $3,000. So I'll see Brother Cooper and he'll give me a good offering. Yes, sir. I want to tell you about Cooper. Boy, I was after him like a bloodhound. That's right. And his daddy would say, now Mays is coming by. Boy, he'd jump on that motorcycle and he'd go. He was more afraid of me than he was the devil. That's the truth, because he got along pretty good with the devil. Amen. I remember one time I came by and he'd gone. I came by to eat supper. Daddy said, I tried to keep JC here and he wouldn't wait. I said, don't you worry, we'll get him. Amen. We'll get him. I said, we'll just keep praying and one of these days, hey, God will get you. Well, if the Holy Ghost ever rests you, you're gone now, brother. That's all there is. So in a little church over in Georgia, one night, I'm glad God saved him. Amen. God's able, isn't he? Amen. Isn't he wonderful? I counted up the other day, we have over 300 preachers that are preaching the gospel. It's been saved in our meetings in these years. And so if they kill Mays, there's 300 more. Just shoot the guns, hallelujah. And you don't have to worry. I was telling them about when I was over at Greenwood, and last year I was pastoring a Central Baptist church over there. We had 11 young preachers to come out of that church. Had one little young fellow named John Shoemate, and he memorized, Brother Dave, everything I said. And he'd get out and he'd just preach, you know, and he'd say everything that I said. And he was preaching over at Abbeville one night. And I used to have a saying, I'd be preaching to Baptists, I'd say, some of you Baptists are cold as a dog's nose and stiff as a poker. He was a preaching, he got all excited, he said, some of you Baptists, he said, you're cold as a poker, stiff as a dog's nose. So, better be careful how you what you say, but it's good to know we've got preachers up and down the country that are preaching the word, that heard the message. What a blessing it is. Amen. And I'm glad and happy for the preachers that are out preaching. You know, it's a bad thing when a denomination, our church, our people, our preacher get to the place and they think, well, I'm the only one left. Elijah thought that. And God said, son, I got 7,000 haven't found anything. Oh, yes. You'll find some of God's choice saints and some of God's choice men up and around the country preaching the word. And that's wonderful. But we want to receive an offering. And I know you're broke. You can't come here Mays Jackson Week without being broke. My wife said there's two things. When people go home and hear my husband preach, they go home broken mad. Yes, sir. But I'm glad you're here. Brother back there told me, he said, I heard you in that tent down there 18 years ago, didn't you, brother? Amen. Boy, I'll tell you what's the truth. We had a time. Oh, Alfred Lark came down there one night. Amen. I never will forget. And I said, God wants to save you. And he said, there, he didn't want to come. I said, God wants to save you. And his little boy came and fell in the altar. And then Alfred came, fell down and got straightened out with God. And oh, that's over here many years ago. Isn't it good? God can just bless and stir and lead people, oh, to the place of repentance. And I'm glad the Lord's still doing that. Now, here's what I want you to do. My post office box in Atlanta, in case you didn't get one of these. Now, I don't give them out on Sunday except the papers for the preachers. But come Monday, you can pick up one of these. I'm going to leave here in the church. And so my box is on here, box 3 in Atlanta, Georgia. You say, I can't remember for you. I'm a Trinitarian. You know what that is? I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you'd remember that. Box 3 in life. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write a letter next week or the next week or the next week or the next week and send an offering for the night's broadcast. All you got to do is put it in your letter. Say, Brother Mays, this is the offering for the night's broadcast, the nighttime program. Not the daytime, the nighttime program. Now, write Brother Mays. You spell Mays, M-A-Z-E, and Box 3, Atlanta, Georgia. It's funny, I got a letter the other day, said, Brother Mace, Georgia. That's all it was. Amen. I'll tell you what, sir, I got the letter in Atlanta. It said, Brother Mace, Georgia. That's all I had. Amen. Well, it's good to, I'll tell you now, it's good to be able to write and receive the blessing of giving. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want some people here today, said, Brother Mace, I can't give it today. Or you may be able to give it today. Always, it's good. But if you can't give it today, you'll send it in. How many people said, Brother Mace, I'll give $10 on the nighttime program, and I'll send it in by the 1st of November. You got a whole month. You can send it in. Hold up your hand. All right? 1. All right? 2. All right? 3. All right? Send the others. Hold up your hand. All right? 4. Anybody else? Say, but I'll send in $10. Hold up your hand. Let's see. Like, all right? I know you. You can do it now. Amen. Some of you got it now. Now, you know what happened? I was up at Five Fork Baptist Church in Virginia. I was up with Gaddis Brown. It's right across North Carolina in Virginia. And I was up there when they had a fellow in the church and the name was Crabtree. That's enough to kill us to have a name of Crabtree. Boy, he's about a sire at that time because he was just a sire. But anyway, he owned a shoe store and he always got a lot of money. Drove a big Cadillac automobile. And I got up when they had, used to have Raymond Jennings. How many of you remember Raymond sang for me? Hold up your hand. All right, Raymond's up there with me in a meeting. I said, Raymond sang the love of God. And boy, if that don't get off and you can't hear anyone. Old Raymond got singing the love of God. God got the blessing. He got the crying. I got the squalling. Now, after he got through, I said, we're going to take an offering this afternoon for the broadcast. And so we did. And I said, you better give. Your mule may die. Crabtree, if you want to write him, I'll give you his address. You can write him. He'll tell you right now, brother. Next, when I'm in Danville, Virginia, he'll be there. South Hall Baptist Church with W.C. Brightman. You know what? I'll guarantee you he'll give. But he went home that day, that night, one of his mules died. The colored fellow came up and knocked on the door and said, Brother Crabtree! Said, that mule just died. And the next night I went back and Raymond Jennings and myself came in the side door. Old Crabtree's waiting on me up on the platform. The rostrum handed me a $10 bill and said, take it. I said, what's wrong? He said, my mule died. I said, well, why do you give it to me now? He said, I got 21 more I don't want to die.
Sir.
Amen. Sir. Get willing to give.
Amen.
I never will forget one night I was taking up an offering over here at Virgil Edwards. Some of you know him. I've been with him in 20 revival meetings. He's an Athens, Georgia pastor, Northside Baptist Church. I was in with that Virgil, was taking up an offering to buy chairs for his tent. And there were $4 and something. I took about $5 and I was taking up $5 plate. Now I said, listen, if you don't give a chair, some of you going home and you're going to have a flat tire. Brother, I got down about Monroe going home and whoosh. I got out and I was changing my tire. And told my oldest boy, I said, son, can't you do anything? He said, well, did you buy a chair? Amen. I said, no, I didn't. And let's get this tire on here. Well, I'll tell you next time I bought a chair. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. That's the next time. Well, you know it works for preachers too. Bless God. If I said that their tire ought to blow out, mine should have blown out. Hallelujah. That's right. I'll tell you, if it's fire for them, it's fire for the preacher. If it's fire for the preacher, it's fire for them. I've always said that. And I believe that, of course. Brother Virgil still laughs at that flat tire I had in Monroe going home. But anybody else say, preacher, I'll give $10. I'm believing it in. Hold up your hand. I'll get the gospel out across this nation and preach the old-fashioned blood-bought gospel. If I can have him, is there another? Say, I'll give 10. You ought to have another. You can mail it in if you don't have it this afternoon. And if God doesn't bless you, why, you write me and I'll send it back to you. You can't beat that, can you? All right, anyone else? All right, anybody say, preacher, I'll send $5 in a month. If you can't send in 10, or you give it today. We're going to take an offering. You give it today if you have it. All right? All right, thank you, preacher. All right, thank you, preacher. Amen. You get $5 out of preacher, you're doing all right. All right, thank you. And a preacher's mother. All right, thank you, Brother Sam. All right, did I see one back there? Hold it up again. All right, thank you, sir. All right, is there another? All right, thank you, sir. Don't scratch your head. That's $2.50. All right, God bless you. Thank you. I was over at Knoxville, Tennessee, taking offering. And a lady came up after service. She said, Brother Mace, that sounds like begging. I said, I read in the Bible, Luke 16, where a beggar went to heaven. That's why I'm getting off. Hallelujah. Amen. That's as far as I'm going. Anybody else say, preacher? I'll give $5. Either you give today or mail it in. And if you get sick, God bless the young lady here. She sat out here today after we got through eating. She wanted to know God's will for her life. Oh, that's good. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Anybody? Thank you, sir. Anybody else? If you don't have it today, you mail it in. If you get sick, forget about it. That's fair enough, isn't it? All right, thank you, sir. Anybody else? All right, thank you. Anybody else? You didn't know it was that easy to get money, did you? You didn't know that easy. Isn't that easy? Amen. Just like taking up cabbage leaves. Amen. Anybody else? God bless you. Forgive me. Is there another? How many of you say, Brother Mays, I tell you, I can't give 10, I can't give 5, I'll give $1. Hold up your hand. Surely, you can give $1, that's 25 cents. Throw them old cigarettes away, and bless God, you can give $1 in 4 weeks. Amen? Yeah, quit drinking so many Pepsi Colas. Hallelujah, you can do that. All right, let's see. 1, 2, all right, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. All right, anybody else? All right, 13. Anybody else say, I'll give $1 on the nighttime broadcast? Hold up your hand. Anybody else? Now you can do it. All right, thank you. All right, it's another. And if you don't have it today, you can mail it in. If you do have it today, you can give it when we pass the place. Anybody else? All right? How many of you do this? Say, preacher, I'll pray for you. Hold up your hand. Well, you do that? If you're too lazy to do that, well, I'll pray for you. Amen. All right, thank you. God bless you. Start to say, how many won't take anything out off and play? Amen. Well, we can have a good time, and I'm glad for the joy of the Lord. Now listen, maybe you didn't have it. Maybe you've got a quarter. Maybe you've got a nickel. Maybe you don't have a penny. You know, you give, and God will bless you. I'll be in Hendersonville, Lord willing, next Sunday afternoon. I was taking up this one time. My mother was there. My grandmother, who's gone to be the Lord, was there. My aunt was there. I said, how many give 10? And they was giving 10. I got 4 tens right there together. I said, if my kin folks last, I'd get all I needed. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. And I do appreciate folks that give. And all of you, God bless you. And if you couldn't give, we're glad to have you. May the Lord bless you. Now I want the ushers to come down. We're going to receive the offering. And you give what you have today for the nighttime broadcast. I tell you, we want to get the gospel out in these days. Oh, how it's needed desperately across America. So you come down. We'll receive the offering now for the broadcast. Let's pray, brethren, and ask God to bless the gift and the giver before we go. Every head bowed, all the way back. Let's pray. While your heads are bowed, while your eyes are closed, won't you just do this now today? I want you to mind God, and that's all. Don't give over or under what God tells you. I wouldn't want you to do what God wouldn't have you to do. I feel like it'd be wrong. But I feel like it'd be wrong if you don't obey God. Oh, that's right. I got home the other day. Let me tell you this and we'll pray. Man wrote a check and sent it and said, Brother Mays, I disobeyed God. The other Sunday afternoon you took up offering. I disobeyed the Lord. And I wanted to send an offering on in. I appreciate you, preacher, he said. Thank God. Said, keep preaching the word. Amen. I appreciated that. You just ask God right now what he'd have you to do. Will you do that? Right now, ask God what he'd have you to do and then obey the Lord. Brother Cooper, you ask God to bless the gift of the gift.
Now, brothers, we bow to you this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be saved.
Yes.
As our Savior.
Hallelujah.
Now, Father, we thank thee today that you've privileged us, that you've called us to preach thy precious word. We thank thee for that above all calling.
Yeah,
amen. We ever had or we ever will have. Now, Father, we thank thee back on the years ago when Daddy began to listen to Brother Mays on the broadcast. And Lord, he got on the deep conviction of his sins. Lord, he got his heart right with thee. Remember all the things that he did try and give other names. Lord, how they began to pray for me.
Amen.
Now, Father, we thank you.
Yeah.
We thank you, Lord, that the gospel is in our heart. When Daddy was out of the wisdom, Lord, we thank you for that. We give thee praise for that.
Yes.
And, oh, God, we would have given much more this evening. Father, what we have to give as unto the dead.
Yes.
You ask you, Lord, for the broadcast we know so many times. Lord, we've lived through Atlanta. We've listened. We've searched it out. Lord, to hear what remains and how the broadcast has been a blessing to us. As we travel along the highway, God, we pray you bless his need. We pray you'll supply it. Lord, he doesn't look to the world. He doesn't ask the devil for pain.
No.
Lord, remember he said he would go to Egypt to get his money. No, God, we ask you that you supply the
need. Yes, Lord.
How much you put him on his ministry.
Yes.
The largest is that you want him on.
Yes.
You'll keep him on, Lord. We thank thee, Father, that you will bless your word and you'll get it out here. Bless from me to enable him, Lord, to make the broadcast. Then, Father, we pray that you lift it and get it out into the hearts and souls of lost sinners.
Yes.
God, that many others might be saved as a result of hearing the gospel. Many others may get right to thee and serve thee. Bless the offering this evening. Lord, bless each one that gives.
Yes.
Bless the day. Meet the need that raises him on the broadcast for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen. All right, you can let me play something. Amen. That. Let me say this to you today. Since time is slipping away, and I want to get right into the message, we won't have any more singing. Many of you have got to get back to your churches tonight, and I know it'll be a blessing to attend the house of the Lord. So I want you to take your Bible today. If you have your Bible, I trust you brought your Bible with you. 1 Samuel chapter 4 is our main scripture for the scripture reading, and then we're going to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 15. I hope you brought your pencils today and you'll jot down a few of these things to remember them by and that you'll remember them in days to come. 1 Samuel chapter 4 is the great battle of Israel and the Philistines. And you remember, if you recall, Eli died, fell off of the wagon backward, and his neck was broken. And if you'll read this, you'll see the story of his two sons and how they were in battle and all about it. But I want you to notice, since time's slipping away, let's begin reading with about verse 18 and read the remainder part of the chapter, which is through verse 22. And then we'll turn over to 2 Chronicles and read one verse of Scripture. Then I'll bring you the message so that you'll be able to get out in time to get to your churches. And you folks come back here tonight that belong to the church and the visitors that can. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 18. And it came to pass when he had made mention of the ark of God that he fell from him off the seat backward by the side of the gate. And his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy. And he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas's wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings, the ark of God was taken. And that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, of the death of the woman that stood by her, it said unto her, Fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. And then, if you will, turn with me to 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, and verse 15. And here's the great verse that God gave me concerning the battle. And I want you to notice verse 15 of chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. In verse 15 it says, And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, that thus saith the Lord unto you, And be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Now I want you to notice what it says. And they saw a people that looked like a great multitude. Now let me say this. If something doesn't happen miraculously, we'll kill those people or the war will go on for 20 years. And beloved, there are multitude upon multitude and we're getting nowhere. Now, the very same thing happened here, but listen to what God's man said. He said, but the battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. Brother, God Almighty can stop them just that quick. And I believe God has the answer. Every head bowed and eye closed all over the house. And in just a moment, I bring you the message on God's answer to Vietnam. But before I pray, before I bring you the message, how many of you here today know the Lord? Lift up your hand if you know the Lord. Let me see your hand today. Hi, God bless you there. Amen. Now you can take your hands down, beloved. How many would say, Brother Mace, I couldn't lift up my hand then. But I'd like to lift it up now. Would you lift it up? Let me see it. Would you step it up right there and you see? God bless you. Amen. Is there another? If you're not right with God, beloved, if you're not born of God's Spirit, lift up your hand and say, Preacher, remember me in prayer. I'll be glad to pray for you if you lift up your hand. You say, Yes, God bless you. I see that hand. Is there another? I want to remember you in prayer. Anyone, the last time I asked, anyone else, we're going to pray. Let us pray. God bless you. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for every blessing that already been received by coming in the house of God. Lord, we thank thee for this church and for Brother Cliff. And our Father, we thank thee for these preachers that have come this Sunday afternoon. And Lord, we thank you for the mothers and the dads. Especially we pray for these mothers and dads who have sons in the service. Oh, God, we pray that our boys may know that we're praying for them, save the lost. And our Father, I pray that you'd give victory. We know that the battle is the Lord's. So I pray this afternoon that you'd make thyself known today and make these days and these hours of worship the blessed days and blessed hours of revival. Thank you again for what you've done. And we pray that you'll speak to the lost. And we pray that you'd speak to our own hearts as we preach the word today. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I'm speaking to you on God's answer to Vietnam. First of all, let me say this book has the answer. I'm glad whether it's domestic or whether it's political or whether it's spiritual. Beloved, the Lord has the answer to all the problems. Isn't it good today to know that our God can give you the answer?
answer for whatever the need is for your heart. You say, but Brother Mays, what about Vietnam? Now Israel had got into the same predicament. She got into the time of the Philistines. And the Bible said the Philistines, or Philistines, were very innumerable people. They got into a mess and they couldn't get out. I said this the other day, Brother Arnison is in a mess, and it's going to take God Almighty to get us out of the mess. I believe that the Lord, his arm is not shortened. I believe that the Lord, his ear is not heavy. And brothers, we turn unto God. Let me tell you, he can do more than bombs. He can do more than airplanes. He can do more than all the great navies of the world. You say, but what about the situation? Israel made two mistakes right in there. First of all, she refused God's way. Now, it's always sad when a Christian so-called nation refuses God's way. Now, I'll tell you this, brother. America has turned her back on the blood-bought gospel of the Son of God. They want a little ear tickling. They want a little soothing sermon. Brother, they want the church membership drive. They want a handshaking. They want to be baptized. I told a fellow the other day, I said, bless God, you can baptize a man out here in the creek till the tadpoles know his social security number. But if he's not born again, bless your heart, it's not right with God. But we need to come back to preaching repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But America doesn't want the gospel, and they didn't want the gospel of the message of God in Israel. Secondly, they wouldn't heed the message of the messenger. Let me tell you something today. Brother, America will not hear the messengers of God. You let an old man-fashioned preacher come on the scene preaching the word. I'll tell you what's the truth. He'll be blackballed and labeled and ostracized and excommunicated, and he'll be talked about. But I'm glad, glory to God, Jesus said, remember, the greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They don't bother me. I've got a nice mailman. And you know, he delivers mail every day, and he doesn't stop every time a little old fast dog gets handed. He keeps on delivering the mail. I remember when God called me to preach years ago, he said, Mays, you got some important messages to deliver, and don't you stop every time some little fast goes to barking at you, hallelujah. Just keep on delivering the mail. And I believe this, brother, even though they're not received, the messengers of God, that does not relieve us of responsibility preaching in these days, the glorious message of salvation. But I want you to notice, by way of introduction, four things that Israel lost, and I believe four things that America has lost. First of all, she lost the joy of the Lord, and it's always sad when you see these Christians walking around saying, well, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm having such a hard time, and I'm a Christian, and I'm so burdened, and they tell you, don't let the devil know it if you are. Clap their heels together and let the devil everybody else know that Jesus is sweet. Heaven is wonderful, praise God. You know what they said when I first started preaching? They said, old Mays will starve to death. And I told my wife, I said, honey, if I do starve to death, don't let the devil know it. I said, bless God, if I starve to death, I said, you tell him that I died from overstuffing. Hallelujah. I don't want to give any credit to the devil, nor to the violist or the liberals, anybody else. I'm glad that Jesus, he'll take care of his children. The Lord will be with us, and the Lord will feed us. Hallelujah. I'm glad for that. But you know, we need to have joy. I believe this, the strength of any nation is the joy of the Lord. The strength of any church is the joy of the Lord. Friday night, you know what I told him here? I said, if that ball game down yonder's got more than we got, let's close up and go down and join them. I said, glory to God. If we've got more than we got, let's make a little racket around here for you. Right, just as sure as your name's what it is, but the joy. You know, I used to have a friend of mine, and I'm not making fun of him, but and he's a fine old boy. He's dead now, going to be the Lord. But he used to go around and hear me preach, and his name was Harold, and he'd sit on the front row right on the end, my tent to that, and he'd sit there, and I'd be preaching. I'd get to sweating, and sweat to get my eyes, and what little hair I had would come down my eyes, and I'd be just a preaching on hell, fire, and forked lightning. I'd be preaching along the way, and he'd jump up and say, preach. And I thought, Lord God, I'm killing myself now. And you holler, preach. And boy, I'll just be a preaching. And everyone once in a while he'd give up and I'd preach. And I thought, my goodness, I'm trying to preach my lungs out, brother, and you're hard to preach. Lord have mercy. Just a preaching going out. But you know, he was tongue-tied. And every time I'd get up to preach, he'd want to testify. And I'd say, all right, Harold, go ahead and testify. And he'd get up and say, praise the Lord. He did. He'd get good and good and seated. He'd sit down. And the next night I'd come back to church or the tent, and he'd be sitting there on the front row. He'd say, I want to testify. I'd say, all right, Harold, go ahead and testify. And he'd get up and say, praise the Lord. And he'd get good and good and seated. He'd sit down. And I don't care if you meet him on the street, brother, and if he had the world on his back and the devil sat him. I'd say, how do you feel, Harold? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Then he'd get good and good and cheated. And he never complained. But you know, he had to go to the doctor. And the doctor checked him and said, Harold, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to put you on insulin. And I'm going to have to put you on an insulin. Harold said, well, what do you mean, Doc? What do you mean, Doc? He said, well, Harold, I hate to tell you, but you got sugar diabetes. He said, hallelujah. And the doctor said, what are you hallelujahing about? He said, I knew it didn't do it and do it and cheated. Sir, bless God. He didn't know he was going to turn his sugar just that quick. But just as sure as you were here, I'm bad for the joy of the Lord. It's worth everything in the world. I said, bad for that today. Oh, the joy, the strength of the church. And they lost it. The second thing, they lost the presence of God. I want to tell you, mister, when people walk in the house of God and they cannot feel the presence of the Lord, we might as well close the door. Because it's His presence and His presence that makes the service what it ought to be. Oh, yes, you know how they lost? They lost the Ark of the Covenant. Now, I don't have time to tell you about the Ark, but it's about the size of this communion table here. And it had three things. It had tablets of the law. It had a pot of manna. And the third thing it had was Aaron's rod that budded. And did you know everywhere they took that ark? Brother, listen. There was victory. And everywhere they took that ark, they didn't have to worry about crossing streams. They just got up there and the priest started carrying the ark. And bless God, the waters parted hither. And the waters parted thither. And brother, every part of the ark was, there was a blessing. Because the ark meant the presence of the Lord beside the people. I'm glad, praise God for His presence. You know, one old fellow in the Old Testament, and they got scared. They said, can we have this ark on your farm? He said, sure. And they put it out there on his farm. You know what happened? The Bible said because the ark of God was on the farm, that the Lord blessed his farm. You know what I believe happened? I believe the chicken started giving double yolked eggs. I'll tell you, bless God. I believe every cow, bless God, gave pure name. Say, Brother Mitch, let me tell you something. When God blesses and the presence of the Lord is there, it's a blessing, isn't it? And oh, to have God's presence. Now, number three, not only lose the presence of God and the joy of the Lord, but the third thing, they lost the battle. I want to tell you something, children. We're not going to lose the battle. I'm glad coming up. There's victory. And I'm on the winning side. Yes, sir. Saved. Praise God, if you're one of God's little lambs, you're on the winning side. The captain, you know, Jerry. I like God. You know, there he's going down around the wall, inspecting the walls. I'll tell you the thick, son. They're thick. They're thicker than this church is long. And he's down there looking around the walls, and he met a man with a drawn sword, and he fell down. And he looked up and he said, are you for us or against us? He said, who are you? And the angel said, I'm the captain of the host of the armies of God. Oh, Jesus is my name, he said. And I'm going to lead you into battle. And let me tell you something, brother. When the Lord leads his people into battle, we're going to have the victory. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Some of you preachers are going to be led in some battles. But if the captain of the host of the armies of the Lord leads you, he'll lead you to victory. Hallelujah. He'll not be defeated. You say, Brother Mees, will it get hard? It sure is. I'll tell you this ecumenical, this modern streamlined bunch. There was a time when you could tell a fundamentalist from a modernist, but they got it so conglomerated and so mixed up now you can't tell which he is up. I'm glad if you're right. There's a little witness there, and you'll know God's and you'll know God's children. And brother, that's a difference. There's a line of demarcation. There's something different about it. You say, well, Preacher Mays, you're with such a little crowd. Listen, I'm not with any crowd.
I want you to know I'm not with any crowd. Bless God. No crowd labels me and no crowd tells me when to preach and what I can preach and what I can't preach. Amen. Oh, listen. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I love God's people. I love all of God's people. I want to tell you, looking at a Baptist preacher, that's his free. I don't have to report. I don't have to make out. I don't have to go back to bed. Son, I want you to listen. It's the greatest liberty in the world. You say, well, how are you going to win? A fellow said to me the other day, show me a needle on the wall. He said, you know, Miss Jackson, what you're doing? I said, yeah, I know what I'm doing. He said, you're hanging all you've got on that needle. I said, that's right. Jesus is on that needle, and bless God, if he fails me, I'll fail. But I said, glory to God, he's not going to fail. Lord Jesus, you're not going to fail. I'm glad, hallelujah, I got all my eggs in one basket, and Jesus is carrying the basket, and I want you to know he's never lost the battle. Now, number four, Kickler, guess what, and I haven't even started preaching yet. Hallelujah, we just getting an introduction. But I want you to notice in the fourth place, my friend, they lost the glory of the Lord. Let me say this. I have never, since I've been preaching, witnessed the glory deeper. And then it has been this church. And then this week it's been good. Oh, it's been wonderful. People pray all night. People wait on God. Oh, you say, but preacher, that's strange. No, it's not. According to Acts, it's normal. It's the normal. That refrigerated crowd is. But you know what I told them the other night here? And it's the truth. That if some of these Baptists, now I'm a Baptist, God bless you. But if some of these Baptists were to come in here, they'd be so dead, they'd have a tombstone under one arm, have a coffin under the other arm, and if they were to spit, just spit up embalming fluid. That's dead, brother. I want to tell you what's the truth. Bless God, that's dead. I believe in the glory and the Shekinah glory of the Lord. And the Bible says, Lord, the glory of God's departed. And when the glory of God's departed, I want to tell you, mister, you might as well hang up the thing. You might as well close the door. When the glory of God's departed. Now, let me get into the message. Israel lost that. But I want you to notice four things in the main message. Have your pencil, jot them down. About an enemy, communism. Notice four things. I could go back and say four things about the Philistines. But notice four things about our enemy. And I'll let you go home. First, notice his fervor. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about what makes it tick. What makes communism such a leech as it reaches out over this world? Why men dying in Vietnam? Why the people sell all they have to the communists? Last time I was in Jamaica, I was telling you the other night about this old guy had a machine gun. And I'll tell you about, but I want to tell you something else. I want to tell you what he told me. It made me feel bad. I want to tell you what he told me. It made me cry. I want to tell you what he told me. Well, I couldn't go to sleep one night. He said to me, he said, the Reverend. I said, don't call me Reverend. I don't like doctor, don't like Reverend, don't like elder, don't like bishop. Just call me Brother Mays. Hallelujah. I said, but I don't know communists. Call me nothing. Hallelujah. That's right. But he said to me, he said, well, I want to tell you, Reverend. He said, I gave up my car to be a communist. Now you listen. He said, I gave up my wife to be a communist. He said, Reverend, I gave up my children to be a communist. He said, I gave up everything I had. I left Russia to come here to Jamaica to go to Cuba. And he said, I gave up all I had to be a communist. Now I thought, my, my, the fervor, what makes a man give up everything he's got? I'll tell you why. Because communism is the spirit of the Antichrist. And communism is the religion of the devil. And men will do all they do to follow that stuff. If that's so, then how much more are we to love Jesus? And how much more are we to be willing to give all that we have? Jesus said in Luke, he said these words, except you hate your father and your mother and your sister and your brother, and hate all you have and turn your back, you can't be my disciple. That's the case, mister, brother. There are not many of us walking close to God. There are not many of us willing to pay the price. Mister, let me say this. If Jesus Christ is all that he claimed to be, and he is, and he was, and he shall be forever, oh, son, there's no price too great to follow him, the gentleman. I'm glad, but oh, as I looked at that communist down in Jamaica, I said, Lord, he gave up his car, and Lord, he gave up his family, and Lord, he gave up everything to be a communist.
Christ. Demonized evil spirit religion of communism. But I said, Lord, how many people, how many preachers, how many missionaries are willing to give up the goal for Jesus? There's the fervor of the thing. Quickly, here's number two. You'll find, say, preacher, what's it's fervor? Secondly, who are its friends? Who are friends of communism? You say, preacher, mate, who are the friends? First, the devil is. And I don't want to have anything to do with the devil. Amen. I want to tell you, brother, old Lucifer himself is ahead of all that business. Because really, back in the days of the Caesars, of the Tsars, back in the days of the Stalins, you know what? Back in the days of Lenin, they copied the New Testament and they said communism is to make all men equal and to bring all men under one power. But it was the wrong power. Jesus is coming back in the revelation and he's going to level it all. And he's got a wonderful, a wonderful equalizer. My Bible said, and if you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. I told my wife, I said, during the 1,000 years reign of Christ, hallelujah, I want Atlanta. Yes, sir, there's three people. I'm going to run out of town if they're still around there. Martin Luther King, that old guy that said God is dead, and old Ralph McGill down there. I said, I'm going to run out of town. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to wear a rattlesnake for a necktie and have two lines for house cats. And bless God, the Bible said, and the promise of the Lord shall come on the earth. Touch the waters, cover the sea. You talk about it, children. Listen, brother Jesus is an equalizer. I want you to know today, brother, certainly as you will hear, the devil's ahead of communism. Secondly, every old liberal left-winger, bless your heart, is a friend of communism. These little pinhead professors get up in our universities and say that we ought to go soft on communism. Now listen, I want you folks to answer me something. I don't understand this. Why would we send this young man, now listen, over yonder and have him shot all the pieces? When we bring communists to this country, let them speak in our schools. And we'll hold the lesson. I don't understand. That's a paradox. That's speaking out of both corners of your mouth. If we're going to shoot them over yonder, let's shoot them in this country and get rid of them. I don't see any difference in sending me and your boys and my boys across the seas. Y'all are to stop communism and our government's filled with it and our universities are saturated with it. And we've got some little preachers today with a collar turned backward and a forky tail coat, and these preachers run out and they're nothing but communist fronts and brother, they're working for the communist party. Oh, you say, preacher Page, you're judging. I'm just telling you what Edgar G. Hoover said. He said there are over 20,000 here in the United States of America. And preacher, you say, who are our friends? That bunch, but then I will tell you who the fools are. You say, Brother Mays, who's against communism? My father, you're in heaven. Hallelujah, he's against her. I'm glad, secondly, the Bible is against her. I'm glad I got a little praying mother up here in the mountains of Carolina. And thank God my mother's against it. You say, who's against it? Every free thinker in the world that loves liberties against communism. And hallelujah, every old-fashioned fundamental preacher is against communism. Why you put it down? I've never met a preacher that was fundamental and believed the word of God, but what he was anti-communistic. And I'm glad I'm on that crowd side. Oh, you'd say they're going to shoot you. I think they are.